jump on in. Hello, and welcome to the Old Man Orange Podcast. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
And we're coming at you with some Hellsing Ultimate. Which, you know, when I think of Hellsing, this is actually, like, one of the first, like, mangas I remember ever just, like, literally reading from, like, I guess beginning to end. You know, because most ones, you know, you might read a handful of chapters or you have a certain, like, group of books, but do you really have them all? You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, there's so many of those ones where you're like, yeah, I have a few of the books, but I don't have all, like, you know, 342 of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of that way, too. I have a couple miscellaneous Full Metal Alchemist mangas and the Neon Genesis Evangelion mangas. I got those from 1 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just a couple random books here and there. And I'm not going to count Scott Pilgrim or anything because that's not really a manga.
Yeah, I wouldn't call that a manga. That's like, that's just in between comics. It's like something between worlds. It's a regular comic book, but it has manga elements in it. Dun, dun, dun.
Between Japan and Canada, you know, somewhere between there, Hellsing is the first manga I ever finished, and what ultimately got me into it was the, there was the, anime, mm-hmm. and there's the original anime, which at the time, I guess the first two mangas were out or so.
I think so.
Maybe the others were, there was a little bit of, you could tell that, you know, there's some things early on in that they, like, added this character in there. They added some characters in there to fluff it out. They expanded on certain things, which I got, you know, it might as well be slightly different to give you a reason to watch it, you know. But then, like, after the whole Valentine Brothers arc, from there on in, the thing changes drastically. So I'm going to say it's not as good as Hellsing Ultimate, but it's still the original Hellsing anime is still worth reading, where Hellsing Ultimate is the one where we're trying to make it as accurate as possible to the manga. But there are things I know they actually change. Like, the majority of it, it's probably, like, 90% there. But some things they alter and change here and there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not saying, you know, the original show, because that's the one I remember watching, too, because that was, like, it came on Adult Swim back in the day and everything. And I think that's that kind where, like, you know, if you just kind of take it for what it is, it's kind of like the Full Metal Alchemist, like, the original version, too. And that's just a common anime thing, I think. It's just, like, they got a couple books out, and they're like, you know what? This guy's going too slow. You know what I mean? We got an idea how this can go, right? Yeah. We'll figure it out.
I guess that's the thing that's funny about it, just because there are the ones where they're just like Dragon Ball, like, no, we're not going to surpass Akira. We're gonna do whatever Akira says. Make Bulma fight a giant crab for a little while. Make Frieza charge up for 5 episodes straight. We're not going to overlap them. Where this, you know, even Full Metal, because that got about halfway, I think, and then it did its own thing. And where Hellsing, it's just like, oh, there's a couple little extra things, but it's kind of moving at its own pace, but it's still kind of following the comic. No, it's not. Never mind.
Well, and I'll say this, though. It's like one of those ones, like Akira Toriyama, like, I think he's putting out chapters faster than, like, anybody could even put animated segments out, even a whole team of them, because he's just, like, a maniac. Like, when you hear his, like, workload, like, 15 pages a week, Jesus Christ. Which I remember, like, when we had the Hellsing mangas and everything, and you'd read the back, you get the little special features back there, and I want to say the guy's name is Kota Hirano. That guy on his, he would have his kind of like behind the scenes stuff. And I remember he would say, he was almost more like the realistic one. He's like, yeah, it takes me about a year to do a whole book or something like that. You know, which I'm like, oh, okay, that's a very reasonable time. You know what I mean? He's like, yeah, you know, between that, watching anime, playing video games, just kind of hanging out, jerking off, you know, whatever. It's just like, oh, okay, cool. And then it's like, yeah, you see Akira Toriyama. It's like, he puts out 3 of those graphic novels a year. Like, what a maniac.
Well, Akira Toriyama, it's funny about him, because it's like what brought Dragon Ball back to a certain extent, because I think Super, I think that is also still technically based on a manga. Is the Super have a manga coming along with a parallel, or are they working together or something to that? I think Dragon Ball Super has a manga out, right?
No, it does. It's definitely got, you know, just as many, like, books out there as there is episodes, you know, in a sense. And I wonder if I don't know, because I haven't got that far in both of them, like, in a sense. So it's like, I don't know if they are, like, identical, or if it's just, like, one of those ones that's, like, is Akira just, like, one book ahead of, like, the show coming out or something? I don't know. It'd be interesting.
I was watching Super, and this is all going to link back to Hellsing here in a second, but I was watching Super, Dragon Ball Super, And I took a break from it. I'm going to come back to it. I was enjoying it. It was a good show, and it was kind of, it was now, since they don't have to wait for the arcs to catch up or anything, they can just go and make a they could just do a straightforward story, and you don't have characters charging up for five episodes straight, you know. But that's got to be another level of crazy. The idea that, oh yeah, I could put out that, like, three graphic novels in 1 year. And it's kind of funny, the, like, you know, when the Dragon Ball Evolution movie came out, mm-hmm. what made him do, like, jump onto other Dragon Ball projects again, which eventually led to Super and the other movies, was him being like, I cannot let this be the last Dragon Ball thing. There is no way I'm going to let this piece of shit be the last Dragon Ball. Like, out of pure hatred is what brought Dragon Ball back.
Are you talking about Dragon Ball GT?
No. The movie.
The live action movie. Yeah. It's like I don't want that to be like the last bit of legacy of it.
Yeah, he's just like, this cannot stand, you know. So the idea that that brought him back, and I know that this is people click on, clicked on this because it said fucking Helsing, asshole. But yeah, you know, but I guess, like, long way of saying, I guess Helsing is the only manga series I ever completely finished, you know.
Yeah. Now, granted, it's only 10 books, so it doesn't take nearly as much effort as other series and so on. But actually, I saw this right here. I kind of forgot this. I said that this thing played on Adult Swim, but it's like, oh, no. This premiered on Starz Action Channel. I'm like, oh, shit. Actually, I do remember that, because the Action Channel was one of the other places that you would, like, scan to look for, like, you know, new and different animes and so on. And that one a lot of times would have, like, the cool, like, rated R animes, you know, hanging around on there, you know, because it'd be, like, at midnight, but it'd be like, wait a second, we're not on the East Coast. We're on Pacific time, so we get it at 9 o'clock at night.
Well, it was also, I didn't want to, like, was it on Adult Swim? Let's look this up. I didn't want to do that. I was like, was it on Adult Swim? It seems a little too violent.
Yeah, that's like I thought too. I was like, wait a second. I'm like, that didn't seem right. And then I just kind of, like, saw it right there. And I was like, oh, no. It was on Action Channel. And then I was like, no, that makes sense. Because I remember finding this on Action Channel. I remember, like, it was me and, like, Josh were watching this. I could, like, literally picture when, like, the first time we ever, like, ran across Helsing and whatnot. And that show actually isn't that long. I almost want to say that one only has, like, 13 episodes or something like that.
It's something like that, like 13 to 15 episodes. Yeah, I had that whole series. And when I got that, when I was done with that series, I was like, it was right. It wasn't right when I was getting to anime, but it was when I was getting more deeper into it. So I'm like, well, let me check out the manga. And then by volume 3, everything's different. I'm like, well, what the fuck? This is way different than what happens in the anime. I'm like, well, now I got, you know, and I just finished the anime. So I'm like, well, I got something else to finish off here. So I just kind of worked my way through it. And I'll say that I still like the original anime series, but if I do have a preference, it's probably, I have not watched the entire Helsing Ultimate series, like, as is, just because I had the manga, and at the time when they were coming out, they're coming out at that point when, like, these things would come out, like, in a $30 to $40 DVD set with minimal special features. You'd only get it, like, at a Suncoast or FYE.
Yeah.
And it would be, like, spending $40 almost for, like, a 45 to hour long movie. And it was all just very bare bones special feature shit. So I was just kind of like, I know how it, I mean, I'd love to watch it. I got the first two, and I was like, you know what? I'd love to get the rest of these, but you know what? It's not worth the price tag, really. And then streaming became a thing. And then I watched the whole thing on Team 4-Star when they did their abridged version. And it follows the comic closely with their special little, you know, their flourishes they add in there. But now if we're going to do this whole series, this would be kind of cool just to see how much it goes along with the comic itself.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the thing, too, is, like, I remember watching literally probably the first two of these, and that's about all I remember ever seeing. And then it's one of those ones.
It's the only two I bought.
Yeah, it's the only ones. So that's all we want. It is that thing that's always been the back burner. It's always been that one that, like, the second that, like, you know, once you had streaming and things like that, it's like it has always been sort of saved on, like, Hulu or Funimation or whatever one you kind of see it pop up on. And it's like, one of these days, I'm just going to sit down and kind of finally watch them through. And so sometimes, I don't know, it's the weird thing that nowadays, I feel like we need a podcast to be able to sit through and watch them all, because that's, like, about the only time I have for watching stuff. It's like, it has to be dictated around the podcast schedule. So it actually kind of works out well that we finally kind of get to jump into this and so on. and go through this, because this is always kind of a fun, you know, series. It was always the one that I remember back in, like, you know, the early 2000 days when you were online. There was two a la cards, and most people would actually think of this a la card first and foremost and not the Castlevania a la card, which is kind of ironic nowadays, but this was the one that was way more popular than Castlevania.
Yeah, and this was my introduction to Alucard himself. It's kind of loose, like, he's Dracula, but goes by Alucard, but in this thing, he's the son of Alucard. I don't know, it kind of goes around. But just the name Alucard, like, oh, Dracula backwards, okay.
And I have to say this, though, because I was watching this one with the in the subtitled versions, and I don't know if it's just the subtitles, but I was like, it says his name's Alucard, but then I'm like, is that just one of those, like, ones? Because now it makes him sound like a South Park character, like the one they can't pronounce their L's, so they just call him, like, Alucard in Japan. Because I will say, when they pronounce it in Japanese, that's how they say it. They don't say Alucard, they say Alucard.
Well, it could be that. I could also think of, like, it might be how much of Dracula stuff is owned by the Stoker Estate. So I'm wondering, like, what the loopholes are, because I want to say I saw something where it was spelled differently or something. I don't think in this version, but before, I want to say Alucard was spelled slightly different in something else I read or saw. So I think there's some, we'll get to the end of the series when we get to the end of the series. But there's some things in there that made me think, like, I wonder if they worked around that just to avoid a lawsuit from that, you know? Because even Frank F.D. Gross, who wrote the Wolfgang Chronicles, he said that didn't he say he had to take some shit from the Stroker Estate or something like that?
No, I don't. Nobody said anything to him, but we were just talking at one point that they still actually own. I think I almost want to say they own it so that, like, it's not technically public domain yet. I don't think, I could be kind of wrong on that one. But they still are able to kind of keep it alive, and I want to say, like, the great-great-grandson even has his own sort of, like, continual books that he's kind of written. So I don't think the name Alucard obviously is not, like, it's not held by anybody's, like, it's too old of a name. And, yeah. You know, I mean, obviously Castlevania wouldn't be able to use it if that was the case, too. But, no, nobody owns, like, Dracula or Alucard or any of that kind of stuff. It's technically, I mean, that stuff, just including just the straight-up Bram Stoker's version, that's whole, you know, normal storyline and so on, or whatever the kind of characters and so on, can kind of be a free-for-all grab because it's just in that. But I think that's what it was, is that the Bram Stoker Estate still kind of carries on the legacy of it.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think that the subtitles, either someone's a dick who's translating, be like, this Japanese spell it real funny. It's like, what, did you learn how to speak Japanese just so you could, like, translate Japanese just so you can make fun of him? Yeah.
Well, I'll say, before we actually get into the show itself, I'll say, just, I remember seeing Alucard spelled differently. I'm looking at an IMDb right now, and it's how it usually is, and I don't want to split hairs on something so trivial, but, like, I know somewhere I've seen some game or some anime or something where his name was spelled differently, so I was just wondering about that, or how much they butt into it, but I guess it's... Yeah, I guess I'm misremembering.
I mean, by that sentence, I mean Helsing spelt differently than Van Helsing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, there's two L. It's actually Hell and then Sing. So
yeah.
Maybe that's the loophole around it.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. I think that was more just to be like, yeah, man, you know, it's Helsing, but this one's Helsing. I think it's more one of those things. It's literally like that kind of, like, angry teenager, like, rock band kind of feel.
So you watched this one in Japanese?
I did. If I can watch anything in Japanese, I pretty much do nowadays. Like, generally, I only watch the English ones whenever we have, like, ones, like, when we watch, like, Fatal Fury or something where I can't seem to find the Japanese one.
I actually watched this one. I mean, I've seen it in Japanese a few times, but I primarily watched this one in English, I guess just because when I first watched the original Helsing, Crispin Freeman is the voice I always hear for Alucard.
Uh-huh.
And without him, it just doesn't sound... I mean, the Japanese dude does a good job, too. But that's just the voice I hear whenever I hear Alucard speaking. And then on top of that, they're all British, so I'm like, oh, well, technically they're really speaking English right here, more than likely, in like, the context of the series. So I'm like, all right. Well, I mean, I think this is where, you know... Something like a samurai thing, I usually feel more like, okay, maybe I'll be watching in Japanese here. Not that really matters too much, but yeah. I think this is one where the English cast does a pretty good job, though.
Yeah, no, I remember it being actually a good one and so on. It's just, mostly nowadays, it's just like, I just kind of straight go to, like, for some reason, just like, oh, Japanese, there we go. I mean, even, like, Amazon will tell me, like, I'll watch, like, an American movie or something like that, be like, oh, we're sorry, we didn't have the Japanese track available for you. Just like,
please don't leave.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, yeah, this movie's, yeah, that's it's fine being in English, you know. If Bruce Willis was speaking Japanese, it might be a little weird, but go carry on.
I was going to say this one right here. I do think it's interesting because watching the original show and then reading the manga and then watching the adaptation of the manga, which is what Hellsing Ultimate is, it is kind of surprising watching it how much they speed run the very first volume, because they really stretch shit out in the show. Like, I'll say, like, the original show, like Ceres is shot and turned into a vampire at the very end of the first episode. So they really kind of, like, pace it out. Where here, it's just like, she shot, bite her, get out there on the next fucking mission.
Yeah, exactly. Like, boom, boom, boom. I don't know. Maybe that's the one because they knew that the other show existed. And they're like, hey, people have already seen this. Let's do the kind of, like, the speed-up version of that part. Because, yeah, in a sense, those first handful of episodes of the other show do stick kind of to the book. It's just it deviates later. And I feel like that's what they're trying to do in this. They're like, hey, by, you know, almost like Hellsing, you know, 2 is done, we're kind of can go into it and then we can just do it book by book and not have to worry as much, you know, because we've kind of caught up with either whether it's the manga audience or the old anime audience, old as in like 3 years ago before this.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I know we're already like, you know, 20-ish minutes in and we've just talked about this by comparing it to other anime, but well, it's kind of like when like Hellsing, when Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood came out, the first episode or two was not where it was in the manga series or the anime series. It was a brand new thing for the first two episodes, just because like you already saw the whole like Lior thing. Now we're gonna go back to the Lior thing, we're gonna speed run it when we get there.
Yeah.
This is more of like, and plus this also follows with the comic more closely, because the comic just gets the fucking point and gets running out the door, where the original show kind of lingers, which makes sense. They only had two books to go off of at the time, so
yeah.
I don't mind the pacing of the original show for that, but at the same time, I really do appreciate the level of gore and the level of like artistry that goes into all the character design, all the animation in this.
Yeah, no, it gets right to it right off the bat. You get good action coming at you, and you know, tons of copious amounts of violence. This is that time period where like they start introducing like CG into it, so they do even kind of like milk that pretty well, but.
So I want to say the original show was kind of low budget, and this one they are really pushing I'm not sure how much more expensive it is, but it looks a lot shinier, it looks a lot more shaded, you know?
Well, because, you know, we just did the Evangelion ones, but this, like, the Hellsing Ultimate almost kind of remind me that this was sort of made in, like, a similar kind of feeling to the way that, like, almost the Evangelion Rebuild series kind of was. I mean, I know they're still kind of doing their own thing, but it was almost like, hey, let's go back and, like, let's give it another take and see how we can dial it in even more.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, there's some things I'm surprised that kind of, like, they stayed very true to it. And there's some things I'm surprised they actually left that in. Like, there'd be, like, you know, Ceres has, like, a weird dream. And, you know, there's, like, the weird guy, like, I'm the spirit of the Hunkun Canon or whatever. You know, just has the weird kind of, like, 2D, like, very simplified, weird, like, how dark and serious this thing is.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly it jumps over to, like, the weird, kooky kind of two. Like, and they would utilize that into, like, on the next episode, and they just use those as the shorts to explain what the next episode's going to be. But in this one, it was a lot more of, like, just, I'll say that felt out of place, but it was so weird and so bizarre, I didn't mind it, you know?
Yeah, well, it's weird because it's like, Ceres is the only character in there that is, like, not treated, like, sort of, like, I guess you would say, like, seriously. Like, she can have those kind of, like, goofy cartoon moments. And I guess what it's supposed to be is she's supposed to be the Avatar character, in a sense. Like, you know, everybody else knows what the hell's going on. Here's this one, you know, policewoman who just got thrown into this. Like, literally, it has that kind of thing. Like, she comes into this, is attacked and so on. Alucard pretty much just bites her and so on. Like, look, you're drafting to a war now. Come on, start fighting with me. That's practically what it is. It's like,
here's a big fucking cannon.
Yeah, take this cannon. And the butler's going to make it even bigger and even more powerful as time goes on.
Which, Walter's probably one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, no, that guy's really cool. I mean, he's literally is just like, you know, a kick ass like Alfred and so on. But you can never go wrong with like a badass like Butler.
Yeah, well, plus because he's quiet and standing on the sidelines. You know, he's gonna probably being an anime. You know, he's probably gonna do something at some point.
Uh-huh.
But then when he actually does do it, and the way how he just basically just has the wires go everywhere, could like cut people from limb to limb everywhere. You know.
Yep.
And then like I mean the first OVA is like, you know, it's only 45 minutes or 50 minutes, something like that. And it just does speed run. It just kind of like, all right, it is. We're just going to condense the first volume, which is Sarah gets bitten. They go after some
the
teenage
priest.
Vamp.
Oh, what? Yeah. They go after the teenage vampire. That's right.
Which back in the original miniseries, that was its own episode itself, you know. And she's like, but she's a girl. She's a vampire. Shoot her, you know. So, and then, yeah, and they go off against Anderson. That's the thing about Anderson. Anderson's probably... I mean, there's not really that many characters in this thing I dislike. I mean, when we get the Nazis, it gets a little easier to dislike certain characters.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, the mainstay cast, they're all, like, you know, Alucard, Walter, Saris, Anderson. I think the four of them, there's a reason why they stick around it for so long, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no matter what, even, like, the cat, like, even there's, like, douchey characters, but they're still kind of interesting in a weird way, too. You know, especially when you get to, like, the second episode and whatnot, and you get, like, the Valentine boys.
I like the Valentine brothers just because there's the whole thing where I like how Luke and Vaughn. Is it Luke and Vaughn? I think it's Luke.
It's Jan and Luke.
Luke and Jan. It's Jan.
Oh, Jan.
It's,
I guess
like, Jan, Jan is the dude in the beanie, and Luke is the dude in the pretty boy.
Yeah.
I like how Luke has this sense of like he is the next step up. He is right at Alucard's level and about to go the next step higher. Where Jan. Is like he knows he's the bottom of the barrel, but he doesn't give a shit. He's just happy he has vampire abilities and he loves killing.
Yeah, he's just here for the killing and for the rape.
That's all he's there for.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's the guy who's he's a very honest man. He's not into a whole lot, but he loves the killing. He loves the raping.
That's the thing about a character. If you have a character that is like just very not so much mustache twirly, but just more of like. Just that forward, and they're like, that's what I'm gonna do. Why? I'm bored. I got nothing else going on. So yeah, I'm gonna just, you know, blow your brains out, skull fuck your corpse. I'm not being funny. That's literally like, yeah. If that's not the line, it's close to the line.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's almost like he's got that like kind of early 2000s kind of like almost like Jet Grind Radio like kind of gangster look to him is the best way to sort of say it. And it's just like it's just some kind of like thug kind of like douchebag kind of guy, but it makes him a fun, interesting character still. You know, the fun, interesting character that likes rape and murder.
He seems kind of like they both seem like guys who came from America and just like, you know what? They don't got guns here in England, so I think we could take care of this shit pretty easily if we wanted to, you know?
Yeah.
Almost, and then from there, they stumbled into vampires and all that kind of shit. I think that the whole their whole dynamic... I don't even hate Luke, but... Because Luke serves a purpose. He's a cool-designed character, and when you see him go through the mansion and killing all these different humans and all these different Helsing soldiers... That's where just like, all right, this guy is pretty badass. Then he gets down to Alucard, realizes, oh, this dude's not jack shit.
Yeah. Exactly. He just can't withstand up to Alucard. So, well, I just even love just like, you know, the amount of damage sort of like Alucard can take and just like how he sort of can laugh it off and still kind of recover and just like, you know, just has these like ridiculous abilities that people, you know, almost like don't really quite understand yet.
Yeah. Well, there's also some of this stuff where he... When you first see him, because, like, when he goes up against Anderson, because the complaint I've heard about Helsing is Alucard is too powerful. I'm like, well, technically, Alucard's not the main character. The main character is really...
Integra?
Integra, yeah. Integra's really the main character. She's Sarah Connor. He's the T-1000. That's essentially the way it is.
Yeah.
And watching... And, like, the whole... a lot of it becomes, like... Okay, every so often he goes against something that's stronger than he anticipated, but majority of the time, the big problem is, oh, Alucard's not here yet. We gotta survive until Alucard gets here. And when Alucard gets there, it's a giant kill orgy, so...
Yeah, exactly. And you know, kind of the funny thing too is I really will say that like Jan and Integra, like, you know, like it, from like kind of like a faraway glance, those characters almost look identical because they both got the shimmery glass. Well, everybody's got shimmery glasses on in this. It's like, oh, this is like the show of shimmery glass people. You know what I mean? Because everybody's glasses just like shimmer and glow, you know, glow and so on. But
trying to make glasses look cool because they're always like doing like the one finger like pressing against it, and their mouth is kind of covered. Their eyes are really like squinting, like they're really pissed off or giving you a blue steel stare or something.
Well, I mean, like 75% of the characters in this, you don't even ever see their eyes for the most part, except for like those one moments where like the light changes or something like that. But but no, the Integra character is kind of an interesting one too, because it's kind of like she's almost this like lineage of like the Helsing kind of like clan, and she's just kind of like the you know, the heir to the throne nowadays have taken over this, and by that kind of standard, it's like, you know, this has kind of become like the royalty for like, you know, vampire hunting and monster hunting and all that kind of stuff, which I think is also what makes the kind of like the Valentine voice kind of interesting, because I like that even like, you know, Luke or Jan comes in there and whatnot, and he's got that sort of thing like, fucking rich people think they're better than us, like, you know, like soccer hooligans down here.
Well, even the whole thing with, because like that's a thing when you have a character that's coming in with legacy or lineage, a lot of times like, what makes you so fucking special?
Yeah.
But a character like Integra, though, they go out of their way to make you really respect her, mm-hmm. and to make her be this badass, and you don't like, because every so often, because you know, you read her full name out. Sir Integra Fairbooks Wingates Helsing.
Yeah.
That sounds like the poshiest, most pinky-out name you could possibly have. But the thing about her is, she's a badass, she can hold her own, and she doesn't take any shit, and she can command a room. And she's only supposed to be, I think, like 21 or 22. So it's this thing, like, at a young age, she had to grow up quickly, and she had to learn how to kill, she had to learn how to command a room and take charge at a very young age, especially with like kind of this thing, like most people will be like vampires, like she, yeah, fucking vampires, get with the fucking program, like, okay, vampire, oh shit, vampires, yeah, I was fucking telling you, fucking vampires.
Yeah, well, and I always say, like, in Japanese kind of storytelling, their characters, they always love to make their characters, like, way younger. Like, I always feel like you almost have to age them up, like, in just, like, kind of, like, American terms. You know what I mean? Because, like, if she's, like, a, you know, yeah, like, a young 20-year-old, you'd be like, well, realistically, if this is America, she'd be, like, you know, middle-aged 40-year-old. I feel like that's where it sort of would be. It's kind of the same way that sometimes they'll have in certain things. They'll be like, hey, this young 13-year-old kid in this anime, it's like, let's be honest, the way that he's drawn and everything like that, he's drawn like he's a 17-year-old or like a 19-year-old, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and the whole thing is, when I first read the series or watched the anime, I assumed she was probably somewhere in her late 20s or early 30s, but then reading along it, I was like, oh wait, she is like only like 20 or 21, something like that, which I think that in the idea of like, okay, well if it's in England and lineage is a big thing there, then I guess maybe that would maybe pass down the line or something to that effect. But the idea that kind of like, I do like the idea that with the whole, this isn't strictly stick to these two volumes, but the idea that there is like this rivalry, like the Vatican and the Helsing organization should get along just fine because they mm-hmm. agree on killing vampires. They just don't agree on how to kill vampires.
Yeah, exactly, and that's almost like the interesting thing, kind of the dynamic there and so on. It's sort of like the separation, I guess, of each thing. It's almost like if you compare it to like having like the Van Helsing movie and so on like that, it's like almost when was the split coming around, you know, around and so on. I almost want to say, if I remember correctly, doesn't that split sort of happen in World War II? Isn't that like where that all kind of goes? Because I know that's where we go in it, but isn't that where like those two kind of split up or something like that?
I had spoilers ahead for no one's ever read the manga or seen the anime, but I think that I think some of the characters from Millennium come in, and they were taken under by the Vatican, and then from there, I don't remember how it all. I don't remember all the hows and whats. Remember, they kind of took them under their wing for a minute, like, oh, it's okay, just stop all the Jew killing. I mean, we don't like them, but just stop it because it makes us look bad too, and then they built up steam and picked up again, like, oh, fuck, we didn't account for this, you know? So I think it was something to that effect.
Yeah, exactly, kind of that stuff or so on. It's been over, like, 10-plus years since I remember last, you know, reading it, so it's like these things are all kind of just, like, sort of faded glimpses of like what it kind of was. But
I think the big thing is they really don't like they don't like that they align themselves with Alucard. I think that's the big thing, because they got the King Vampire as their like head honcho of the whole organization. Which really, if you think about it, aside from Walter, who maybe he has black magic, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And aside from when he comes in, I forgot his name, Vendetti or the French mercenary guy.
Oh yeah.
Everybody else is like, you don't want to really. Helsing is probably one of the worst places to work for, because if you're just a standard soldier, you say, yeah, man, I just got my job at a fucking as a vampire hunter. How badass is that? And then all of a sudden, you know, a tour bus pulls up, like, oh, what's with those two hipsters out there getting gunned down?
Yeah, exactly. And then you get turned to a ghoul soldier in Saemon, you know. So it's like, it doesn't really end well for any of the lackeys in this. I mean, that's generally. In general, the nameless kind of like, you know, soldiers and guards just never ends well.
There is a lot of like, hey, do you like seeing copious of dead bodies and meat? Like, I was thinking, like, I remember this is back in high school when people were like, dude, they should make a movie of this. They should make a movie of that. I'm like, they should make a Helsing movie. Like, they should, but you realize how toned down that thing's going to be if they ever make a movie of it. They're not going to go to the level of gore. They might maybe do it now to like a Netflix original movie or something, but they're not gonna do it to like, yeah, it's not gonna happen right now. I think people are too soft for it right now.
Yeah, and a lot of times even too, it's like, I feel like things still get, no matter what, they still get toned down, even if you do get somebody like really putting it to, I mean, you have to have the real right team to kind of do it. I don't even think a Netflix original would even like, they still would tone it down there. You would need it to be something just like, in a sense, like you need almost like an eclectic kind of like director who wants to take hold of it and no one's going to question what they're doing kind of thing.
Yeah, I still think, yeah, I don't think that, I said Netflix original, but at the same time, I know that they would probably make it bloody enough to earn its R rating.
Yeah.
But you probably wouldn't have like literally tidal waves of blood. You probably wouldn't. And if you did, it would not look that great. I mean, you know, Army of the Dead was pretty violent and that, you know, but at the same time, I don't know. There's some things I think they're willing to throw the money down and take a chance on. I'm not sure if this would be one of them. I guess we'll have to see how the Cowboy Bebop show does, but, you know.
Yeah. I know this one has been in the talks of, like, Amazon, so, which is kind of
really?
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know if we're going to be in this period where all of a sudden that people are going to start buying up animes like they were buying up comic books in the early 2000s.
Well, at first I was pretty, I don't want to go on a whole other topic here, but I'll just say this real quick. At first I was pretty neutral on the whole Cowboy Bebop live action thing. Like, I don't think it needs to happen, but it could be good if it does happen, so I'm hoping the best for it. And I saw the trailer, and I'm like, ooh, that looks a little, yeah, I don't know, we'll find out.
But, yeah, they just look cheap. That's the only thing I just always feel about, like, a lot of times, like, Netflix original things. I know this is kind of getting off topic, but it's still in the anime kind of vein. But a lot of times, I mean, it's different if it's one of those ones like, you know, like the Rurouni Kenshin, because that's not a Netflix, obviously, yeah. They slapped their name on it, but it's not a Netflix show. That's just, they just bought the international rights to it. But, like, that one came out really good and so on. I think it's because you had, you know, Japanese people making it, and they kind of understood the material and so on. But sometimes some of these ones, I feel like people, it's like, I don't know, it's just, yeah, they get the low-budget TV treatment. Because, you know, that, like, at the end of the day, when it comes to Netflix, it still is kind of straight to video. It's not, like, in a sense, theatrical. I mean, you might have some bigger stars than normal and so on like that. But they still always have that, like, straight-to-video kind of feel. And that's not saying that there can't be good movies in that process, but you know what I mean. It just, like, yeah. It feels like something's missing always, like.
Or somewhere between there's somebody who gives a shit, but then there's somebody else who suggests something else to make it fit with, I don't know, like, I feel like, what, like, did you see the trailer for the Cowboy Bebop show?
No, I only saw the photos for it.
Well, they have the opening, and in there, you know, they got the music, and you see all these, like, references to characters that are just like, oh, those are the eco-terrorists from that one episode. Oh, that's the guy who's carrying a coffin around with him on his back. Oh, that's the bad guy from the first one with the bloody eye thing. Okay, so they're throwing these references in there, which you get, but at the same time, it has this weird, like, overly saturated kind of, like, Speed Racer movie look to it.
Yeah.
And, like, the thing about Bebop is it's supposed to be very toned down and very, like, Oh, so you took the one anime that wasn't trying to be super anime-ish and decided to make it really anime-ish?
Okay. Well, I mean, that's literally the Speed Racer problem, is because Speed Racer's pretty toned down, and then they took it and they're like, let's make it wacky and, like, make it like it's a Hot Wheels racetrack, and it's like, it's like, did you not see Speed Racer? I mean, I know it's Wachowski's, but it's like, Speed Racer is literally, like, in a sense, like a regular race. It's like Gone in 60 Seconds if you threw in some 007 gadgets and, you know, and some, and maybe a little bit over the top characters, but nothing like nothing's weird and wacky about it, though. It's still pretty, I mean, realistic for the most part. I mean, they could go a little bit more like, you know, death defying stunts and so on because it's animated, but it's not like it's a pretty grounded in reality show at the end of the day.
Yeah, and like this, and I don't want to go on a whole other thing about anime adaptations, and who knows, I'm hoping the show's going to be good, we'll find out, you know, but like, if they did do a Hellsing one, I do see them like, pulling back, they'd have to go all in, and I'd also be afraid to do the Game of Thrones thing, where they try to like, kind of Castlevania did that, I don't even watch
Game of
Thrones,
kind of burnt me out on Castlevania, because I don't know, it's, as much as I love it, it's like, it slowed it down, and it's like, wait a second, it's that thing where it's like, I almost hate to say it, but I'm like, don't get Americans involved in making these things. You got to get Japanese people, because the Americans don't get the pacing. Like, they don't, it's like there's something, I'm not saying that there's not a American who can get it, but a lot of times the Americans who get a hold of the properties, I don't think understand the pacing, you know?
Yeah. And going back to the pacing for this, like, because it does, the series does just move. There's never really a dull moment, and even the moments where it stops to give you exposition on what's going on, it's not really boring, because you're just finding out about all this, like, you know, like, okay, cool, so vampire hunters are tracking down Nazis, okay, oh, cool, we're learning more about Alucard's backstory, oh, we're like, there's always, like, something that's, I think most of the exposition in this is usually pretty interesting for the most part. I know by now, vampire Nazi is kind of a cliche, and even in the Team Four Star parody, like, you know, there's a time someone would say that. It sounded pretty badass. Now it just sounds like it's overused. Yeah, I know, yeah. So it's kind of like, I mean, I'm sure there were vampire Nazi shit that came out before this, but I feel like this is the first one that really kind of made, like, oh, that's who we're fighting? Oh, that's a cool villain.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, I remember... Yeah, I think there's that one book that what's his name, Kevin Smith's buddy, Kevin Smith's comic book.
Oh yeah, Walter Flanagan.
Yeah, Walter Flanagan and
Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson, their book. Because I almost want to say that book. I mean, I could be wrong. That could be actually like 2000s, but it's like almost give or take around the same time that Hellsing sort of comes out, late 90s, early 2000s, because that one has like the, you know, like the
Universal Monsters.
Universal Monsters meets Nazis and all that kind of. That actually is a pretty sweet book. It'd be kind of a fun one to do at some point. I kind of forgot about that till like, you just kind of remind me when you sort of said that. And I remember he at that time period even got kind of like shit for like doing that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, people have already done that, man. And he's like, well, I fucking didn't read it. So sorry.
Yeah. Well, I think that, yeah, I mean, well, even just the looks of the villains, because the thing about them is, I think one thing I've always stand out about Hellsing is the character designs. Like, yeah, the character designs, aside from the gratuitous amount of action and gore and how well it's made, the character designs always look cool. And they always have these, like, you know, physically impossible poses that no one could do in real life. Mm-hmm. But on paper and in animation, it looks cool.
Yeah. See, and that's always the stuff I kind of always worry when it comes down to live action. Is people sometimes try to capture that stuff, and that stuff looks weird in live action. You know what? This is the best way to say it. It's the equivalent of, like, why you can watch, like, Aladdin, like, in the cartoon and have the singing, and the singing, for some reason, like, you know, it's there and it works, but for some reason, then you go to do it, like, in live action a lot of times, and it feels uncanny. That's the best way to sort of say it. And I feel that sometimes, like, when people try to do, like, live action, sometimes too over the top. I mean, I'll say this, that's what makes Wire Fu, I think, look kind of weird and uncanny, is because, in a sense, what they're trying to do, I know that a lot of times that's associated with, like, Chinese stuff, but at the end of the day, it's kind of in the same vein as, like, we're doing anime live action, but it almost, like, it doesn't, like, really work that way, you know what I mean? Like, And you know, in an anime, yeah, you could have the guy jump up real high and fly in the sky and everything like that and be like Goku or something like that. You're like, yeah, it looks fucking badass. But then when you suddenly see it in live action, you're like, well, why does it look kind of lame and kind of, I'm going to say it, kind of gay?
Well, I mean, the Wire Fu never bothered me that much, but I get where you're coming from. I prefer my kung fu stuff on the ground. And if it is, like, if they are flying around, I'd rather them just, like, Superman it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, because... But going off that, though, like, because even within the action or small moments, because the thing about this series is I do feel like it does move really fast, and it does, like, just throw, like, just machine gun this exposition as well as, like, mission to mission. You just gotta keep going, just gotta keep going. But at the same time, I feel like within that, they get small little subtleties through what characters do. We get to know more about that those characters. Like, going back to Jan, for instance, when after they just got done killing a bunch of, like, Helsing soldiers, you cut to him just very bored, just sitting on a pile of soldiers on the phone, and he's, like, scratching his balls with, like, a severed hand. And that's an angle you could see very well. And he's just like, oh, you know, it's like this guy's kind of scratching my balls. I'm not scratching my balls. So yeah. It's kind of like, you know.
Yeah, that's not gay. You know, I mean.
Yeah, exactly.
You could grab that girl's hand. Like, yeah, but that'd be fucking weird. You know? Dude, you were just about rape a second ago. Yeah, but, you know, I was into it. She was into it. It's like, that's not how it works. You know, tit for tat. Like,
I fill in the blanks, you know.
Yeah.
I have my own fan fiction running up here. Yeah,
no. You know, my brother, he's trying to be, you know, king of the world and shit. You know, for me, I'm here to party, have a good time.
that's what I like about those two, because they just have, like, they're totally polar opposites. The guy who is bottom of the barrel, the weakling, he is more aware of what's going on than his brother, because his brother went in thinking like, oh well, I am just the next evolution of vampire, and this is gonna be easy. And then just, what the fuck? It's just, like, bit off, and he's just, like, scrounging around, and just how it so quickly goes from being a badass vampire fight to where you knew Alucard had these abilities, but to see him turn into like, this hell beast at that level, like, that right there was one of those things where, oh, shit, you actually, for a minute, I'm glad it happened, but you're kind of scared for him just a little bit, but at the same time, so happy he died.
Yeah, exactly. It is. It does make for a good moment and so on. And then I still just love, even, like, when you're at, like, the other battle going on, when Walter is kind of fighting off Jan's kind of men and so on, and all the ghouls and all the soldiers and almost, like, the riot gear and everything like that. And then I like when he brings out Saris, and she's just got the most overly massive gun with, like, the high caliber, you know, explosive rounds and so on, and she just starts blasting those off.
He's just like, what the fuck is that? Like, there's always those few things that kind of catch him off guard when it happens. Like, when he bumps in there, he's like, you know, first off, he's like, this is fun. Okay, we're just killing. Oh, this old guy's knocking some of us back. Not a big deal. And then all of a sudden, Saris comes in, does her thing. He's like, thrown off for a second, then it's back to work. And then, even to the point where he's, like, burning and on fire, he flips the bird. Like, well, you know what? They're killing me, so I'll give you guys a little piece so you can go fill them. Millennium! And, like, you know, his finger, the one thing to survive, like, his whole body burning is his hand flipping the bird.
Yeah, exactly, you know. And that's even, like, the part, too, where, because then there's that moment where, like, Saris goes, like, full vampire, and she almost becomes, like, a wild beast, and everyone's like, shit, we got her under control? Where the fuck is, you know, Alucard when we always need him? It's like, he brings a fucking new fucking pet home, and next thing you know, she's fucking tearing up the whole, like, hallway.
Next thing, she'll be pissing on the fucking couch.
I fucking know it. Because he just goes, like, pure primal and just, like, starts murdering people. Because that's the one thing I will say, that second episode is more like a great, like, action fest of just, like, great badass scenes and so on. And, I mean, I'll say this, that's kind of like Helsing in general. I mean, it's got, like, a very neat story, but I think it is that thing that's almost held together more by how cool the characters look and how, like, badass, like, the battles are and everything.
That too, yeah. Because, you know, the first volume of the manga as well as the OVA, it is, like, very, like, I know I've said this a million times by now, but it is, like, let's get to the point, where the second one takes time to breathe. At the same time, though, it's just a big, bloody action scene. And I think that right there, I mean, I might be mixing it up, but is this the same one where after they get into the big shootout, they go and meet with the member from the Vatican, or is that the third volume? Am I thinking the third volume? Where they meet with a member of the Vatican, they have a sit down, and, like, Alucard and Anderson are about to have a big fight in the middle of, like, a museum, and then Saris kind of stops it by, like, leading a tour and, like, hey guys, not here, you know?
I want to say that that's in the third one, because, yeah, I don't remember third that, like, one. Just okay. In the recent watch of that and so on. But
I'm not gonna lie, because
there's one literally. It's like it's right after, like, the big fat action battle scene of, like, oh, you know, both Alucard, Saris, you know, Walter, and so on with the Valentine brothers, it literally just kind of cuts back into, like, Integra and all her men. Her like, oh, that was fucking scary. I mean, they have that cool scene, though, where, like, Integra and all the men, like, and Jan finally bust in, and then they just all pull out guns and just unload on him.
He's like, oh, that's not fair. Just unloads. Or he's like, or no, he just runs. He's like, oh, fuck me. Just unloads. And he's not even mad. He's like, yeah, I should have seen this coming.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's one of those things. You know,
I'm not going to lie. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, I was just going to. Yeah, I was just kind of continuing there. And I just was saying that that sort of leads into after, you know, he's dead and everything like that. It just kind of has that kind of final part with Integra where she's just like, you know, bringing in like, oh, by the way, the next one's going to have Nazis. Dun, dun, dun.
That's right. That's how it is. I'm not going to lie. I watched this about, like, I watched both of these last week. I'm like, hey, we ready to do Helsing? We're going to go see, no, we got to go see No Time to Die. Oh, fuck, that's right. You know, so then, like, I rushed to go see that. I thought we were doing this last week. It just slipped my mind.
Well, I kind of did the same thing, too, because I started these last week, too, and I almost was at the point where I was like, dude, should we just throw the third one in there just in case? And then I was like, wait a second, we might not have time for that. I wasn't too sure.
Yeah.
You know.
So hopefully we'll get the plan is to get these for Halloween. That's why we're doing Helsing. So
yeah, I mean the upside is that these are the kind that, you know, they can like revolve around Halloween. It doesn't have to be done by then, but
doesn't have to.
But
no.
it gives us a little like sort of alternative kind of like horror type story we can kind of go with. You know, not the norm that most people would think of when they come to like Halloween like movie watching.
Yeah, yeah. I just thought that, okay, well, it's in our wheelhouse. It's, you know, it's vampire shit, so, you know. But, yeah.
Plus, there's always a classic. I don't know. Helsing is one of those ones, like, if I think of, like, maybe, like, those, like, top 10, like, when I think of, like, you know, like, the olden days of, like, anime and so on, like, Helsing would probably be there at, like, you know, number 10 or 9. Like, it's pretty darn close to all the other big ones.
It's up on my list, definitely, because it's, even though if it's not one I put on all the time, now, like I said, I have not seen all the Helsing Ultimates. I now have the ability to with Funimation and Hulu, mm-hmm. So now I don't have to go spend $40 a pop per DVD to see it. You know,
yeah.
But now, but going just strictly off the manga and then watching the Team Four Star abridged of it, it was just like, oh yeah, yeah, this thing, you know. And I the manga still holds up to me. And so I kind of, and I just from seeing the abridged, I know this goes a different direction, and not just like the humor or the jokes they have in there, but I mean, there's a few things they do a little different near the end. Like, well, that didn't happen in the manga, but I'm curious to see the longer version to have that explained. But yeah, overall though, yeah, if you've never seen Helsing, if you like very bloody vampire anime stuff, I recommend it.
Yeah, no, it's a good one, too, especially if you ever were into Castlevania, you know, Dracula-type stuff. Anything kind of vampires and sort of anime. I guess you can't be just into vampires. You got to be sort of vampires and anime, or else it might be a little bit hard to jump into. But it definitely is. And as I said, like when I said like top 10, I just mean like in the olden days when we had very little things to like choose from animes, this was like one of those ones that always kind of stood out. It's like, oh, yeah. You know, this is kind of like, this is a big deal. We're getting some real, like, you know, violent stuff here on, like, the Action Channel late at night on Stars.
Well, it's also one of those ones where, like, the other one held back a little bit. I mean, it was still violent. Still mm-hmm. deserved, like, an R rating, the original anime series. But this one does not hold back at all.
No.
So, I mean, I'm surprised. I'm wondering if they're going to go as far as, at some point, you see a Nazi eat a baby in one of the comics. I'm wondering if they're going to go as far as that. I can see him doing that.
I can in this, because this also, once again, it's that time period, like 2006, you know, kind of around this time when the stuff came out. This is when, like, they kind of had that realizing, like, oh, anime actually is popular, and there is actually a big group for it, and people, you know, the more Japanese it is, the more they want it, you know what I mean? Because we've kind of fallen away from that nowadays, as, you know, because now, you know, American, European, like, video games and so on took over so much that the Japanese stuff kind of fell off the radar. But this was in the kind of the area where it's like, oh, no, the more, like, bizarre and Japanese it is, the more it'll actually sell better in the U.S.,
I feel like that there's that period where there's a couple of times you can see American studios, and not just like something like Cartoon Network or Netflix, but like American studios try to come in and try to like make that fusion anime between Japan and America. And whether it's good or not, it just doesn't like stay. I mean, people love it, but like Afro Samurai, like mm-hmm. I wish there was more Afro Samurai stuff, but all we got is like the one miniseries and that one movie. So it's like, and it's kind of like, I'm wondering if, like, if it just didn't hit the mark for, with enough people, or what happened there, you know what I mean? So that's kind of the thing with it, which kind of has me a little confused. Like, some of the stuff that does get, that does go through, but then, I don't know, how some of the anime that's really popular now is that still here, but Afro Samurai is gone.
Basically. Well, you know, and this sounds so weird. I feel like Afro Samurai, it was almost riding on, like, the Kill Bill kind of, like, feeling, because that's always how that sort of felt. Like, it felt like it had, like, it's anime, you got Samuel L. Jackson, and it's got kind of almost a Tarantino feel, because that, once again, all that stuff kind of merges together at that time period.
And yeah, music by the RZA.
Yeah, so you were getting all this kind of cool stuff, and as I said, I think that just, it lasted for like a moment, and then it kind of switched into almost like the, I don't know, I guess it just turned into, it went more kind of almost, it's weird because it's like, we had kind of like, I guess you would say somewhat like, you know, like the kiddie anime, I guess you would say, like, you know, Pokemon and like, you know, certain thing, you know, even like, you know, I don't always want to throw all these things in there, but like Sailor Moon and all that kind of stuff in the 90s. And then it kind of turned into like in the 2000s, we started getting just, I mean, I guess there was, you know, you still had like One Piece and so on like that, that they had to sell to the new kids. And I guess as other kids, as children are watching One Piece, I guess us teenagers were watching Hellsing. Maybe that's the difference of it.
We were watching Hellsing because, yeah, Hellsing, I want to say Hellsing Ultimate came out around like 2005, 2006, something like that.
Yeah, so you know what I mean? So, like, I feel like maybe that's just sort of it as it is, but it felt like the almost the new kind of like, I guess you would say, kiddier shows sort of took over, where like the things that kind of were like a Hellsing and a Cowboy Bebop, you know, and even, you know, other stuff like that kind of just kind of fell by the wayside in a sense. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they realized, you know what, our bigger target audience right now is probably teenagers, so let's emphasize on the teenagers, even though I feel like teenagers would really like this, but who knows, maybe by now they don't really like, because, yeah, I'm thinking about the stuff I was watching around this time, which I was watching Black Lagoon, which,
yeah,
that's another series I still love, and, you know, this, and Afro Samurai, and then there is, I think, some other, like, more darker R-rated animes that are getting by me at the moment, but that would have came out around the same time, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe we'll get back to that point with anime. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm behind the times in a lot of anime. Like, I'll go on Netflix, like, what's this shit? Oh, let's find out, you know, get a few episodes in. No, not for me, but, you know.
Well, yeah, because generally, I mean, like, for the most part, I feel like I have so many older animes I can kind of watch. Like, I'm pretty much covered with that. Like, this almost to me is, like, almost like what I would consider one of, like, the few, like, real, like, almost even modern animes I'd watch. And it's not that old by, or it's not that new by now, but, like just the way it kind of looks with the CG and all, like, that kind of stuff in there. You know, because most of the time it's like I prefer just to have a little bit more traditional styled animation. But I mean, this one's still got majority of it in there. It just has like some gun scenes and so on that have that. But I think that's sort of like always the thing that kind of throws me off. And sort of some of the newer ones is when they just don't have enough like traditional looking animation.
Yeah, I tried getting into that because, you know, it's on Hulu. It was like, well, this is a popular one. Let me see what the buzz is about this one. There's that show Fire Force, mm-hmm. which, you know, I tried getting into that, and I watched, like, the first, like, I gave it a minute. I gave it, like, 7 or 8 episodes. I was into the first episode, still into the second episode, but a little less, and then from there on, I just went less and less and less and less. I'm like, am I just old now? You know, so I'm just kind of like, what happened to me? I don't know. Anyway.
Well, sometimes I'm just going to say that can happen with, like, even, like, good animes and something like that. I know it's, like, they'll start off like real strong, and then it's that sort of thing I feel like, oh well, shit, that was all my real good ideas, now I gotta kind of fill out the rest of this, like, you know, season. So I mean, I guess it's the same thing of like any TV show in general. It's like you get those kind of good episodes off the bat, and then it's like, oh shit, we gotta make this go longer. It's like the reverse thing of like the Nintendo Power comics, where it's like, okay, we're building up, oh yeah, by the way, you got like 3 more pages, so wrap this shit up. I feel like sometimes TV is the other way, where it's like, dude, I got this great story, and then, you know, I'm about kind of done now. Well, tough shit, you got like 15 more episodes before the season's done, so you better figure out something to fill in there. What if we just have a real long battle for like the next 15 episodes? Yeah, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah.
Can we make action figures?
We're making a lot of money off the...
Yeah.
We're making a lot of money off the body pillows and action figures. Go for it. Do what the fuck you want.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
I love working here.
So I think that's... It's like the many of things where that's why there is always something to be said about. I think that's, once again, coming back to Hellsing, it's nice that this thing in both the shows are not very long, and I think that's what keeps Hellsing pretty darn solid, is that it doesn't have like the overly extended drag on kind of series, so that, you know, you're getting 10 episodes here and then the other show is only 13. So technically the other one's probably shorter at the end of the day, because their episodes, I almost want to say, were only like 22 minutes long or something like that. You know, that makes it, I think what makes it kind of like a solid, like, hey, that's it. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like you just get a real long movie and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, so the plan is for us to cover more of these, and that's hopefully as it goes on, they'll, I mean, I already know it's going to a good place. I'm like, hopefully these stay good. I'm like, I fucking read the books. I know they stay good. You know?
Yeah.
It's just on autopilot right now.
Yeah. It's just kind of, it's just that one part of the brain that's just like, dum dum dum.
I'm pretty much there. Yeah. I'm there. It was a long day at work.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we'll continue some more Helsing fun times coming up soon, but till then, go to oldmanorange.com for more podcasts, comic books like Pizza Boys, old animations, and all that other fun stuff. I'm Spencer Scott Holmes.
And I'm Ryan Dunnigan.
I'll see you some other time.
Later, folks.